up, Jimbo?
What's up,
man? Welcome back, brother. You ready to start this thing?
Let's go.
All right, man. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Want It Tall podcast. I am your way too tall 6'8 host, Jake Heffelfinger. And guess what? I got a co-host in the building today. My man, Nashville's up and coming. Talk of the town, Jim Morris. How you living, brother?
Living lavishly, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for coming through, man. How's everything been? I haven't seen you in a minute.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
appreciate
course,
the opportunity to spend some time with you and chat with some of the hottest, latest, and greatest topics.
Yeah, man. You got to have it, man. So one thing I want to say, man, I've been following you closely online lately. Not to get too serious right out of the gate, but congratulations. I know you got a baby coming on the way.
Soon to be.
So it's a girl, right? We got a little daughter.
Little girl.
Yeah. Congrats, excited, man. Congrats. Everybody listening. My man's going to be a papa. So leading into that, what's one thing that you're like, what's one fear that you have leading into this right now?
I guess the biggest fear of bringing a human into this world that I have
just a little responsibility
is navigating some of the most important characteristics to teach that person, right? So like, you know, me and my wife, we created a list kind of like Ellie will ... And we kind of completed sentences on core values and characteristics that we want to ensure that our daughter is taught.
Yeah.
So I think for me, the thing I fear the most is not, or I guess, how do I put this? I fear most my daughter not being able to comprehend some of the more important core values that I want to teach.
Right, especially these days.
So many influences, external, the way of the world, so much negativity in the world.
Oh, the negativity is stupid. We're going to talk about something on the flip end of that here shortly. But so okay. I led with the bad, right? I didn't want to start with the fear thing, but I'd like to get that shit out of the way and lead in to the positive. What's the one thing you're pumped about?
The one thing I'm pumped about is having that opportunity to bring someone into this world and educate and teach and honestly watch my daughter do amazing and great things.
Is this, have you guys talked about having other kids or is this going to be a one-time deal?
We want another one. I think we got to figure out the first.
Exactly. First time. Then the second one, and then the third. Yeah, because I got siblings too. And parents always say by the second or third one, yeah, it's a different story. Is it going to be
goals and we've got things, you know, we're trying to do in life. So
first-time
we want to figure out, you know, how to be able to do both before I think we have a second or third.
What's going to be your approach to them on social media? You gonna let them do it, or?
Yeah, I think social media is a necessity for business reasons. You know, I think the level of negativity, again, I keep going back to this, sorry, but it's in your face all the time. So how you handle and manage that, I think, is important.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing about negativity, right, that absolutely blows my mind is how fast it spreads. You can have you and I can sit here and talk positive with very minimum response. We spread a negative rumor about something. Everybody's like, did you hear about that? It's never the good.
What travels faster than good news? Bad news.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that you can guarantee.
It's stupid too. It's like, we love it. It's a flaw in the human nature system, in my opinion. Yeah. I've been following a lot of your videos other than the parenthood thing. You've been doing a lot of speaking events, which I'm jealous of because, believe it or not, even though I host a podcast, I have a terrible fear of public speaking. Absolutely terrible at it. I shake. I get nervous. Like, literally, my hand will start going like this. I don't want to give away too much. I want you to talk about it. All the public speaking you've been doing, all the messages you've been laying out there, I want you to break it down right now and just kind of tell everybody what you're working on, what you're cooking up, and what's driving you right now.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Coming in high. I like
bro,
it.
Bro, I like man, it.
Okay.
It's been a minute, bro.
I was going to say, you know, new studio from the first one that I was on.
When we were sitting on pads and stuff like that. We had like the gym pads on top of the table to give us some. I got legit chairs now, man.
Let's go. So I've been speaking on some concepts recently called radiating positivity in a negative world. And basically, there's some framework that surrounds that. But you know, really focusing on the situation at hand where we know we're going to have negative things occur in our life, right? You know, the average person has 12 to 60,000 negative thoughts a day.
Is that for real?
12
I've never, I haven't read that stat, but I don't doubt it.
1,000 negative thoughts a day, that's right? So whether you believe in a religion, devil, bad thoughts, vibes, no vibes, whatever, none of that matters. The realistic approach is that that's true. That information is true. Mm-hmm. You're going to think negative. So knowing that, how can, and especially with social media, advertising, everything's in your face, there's so many distractions, how do you navigate a negative world by radiating positivity? And I kind of been chatting with a lot of folks and realizing how many people need to hear that. And that framework consists of several things, where one of them being do the opposite, right? So like our brain is really built to protect and to serve us and create safety.
It's like, right? A fight or flight response.
And, you know, in the world we live in today, by not doing a lot of those things that our brain tells us not to do, it keeps us safe, but it doesn't challenge us. It doesn't allow us to grow, right? So the brain is good because it protects us, but it overprotects us. And it doesn't allow us to get out of the comfortable, to figure out a new way, to grow, to learn. And all those negative things that it's telling you to do are hurting creativity. They're hurting exploring different options and really kind of navigating that new world to grow.
People are afraid to be uncomfortable. And okay, what I've learned, if you just stick to that same lane, it's fine, but don't expect any expansion. You're going to stay right where you're at. Like, okay, I've learned if I start feeling like uncomfortable about something, hence starting this thing, so much uncomfort, like sometimes, like, or just when I was new in real estate, when I was doing all that. And the best thing you can do is just keep pushing. It's the best thing you can do. What does it do? The opposite?
Do the opposite.
DTO, baby.
DTO.
Where did that thought come from?
My daily routine in the morning. You know, I've been waking up at like 4:15.
Can you elaborate more on like what Jim's morning routine looks like? Just for the people out there, if they need something to kind of...
So, first and foremost, take your phone and put it across the room when it's charging. So when your alarm goes off, you have to physically get up to turn it off. You can't just roll over and hit snooze.
Boop, hit that.
Right? But do the opposite. When I wake up, my brain says, go back to bed. It's warm. It's cozy. You're with your wife. You're with your dogs. This is where you want to be. This is safe. So I wake up.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
So cold.
I wake up and I'm like, nope. Okay. Got to get up, physically get up, turn it off. And my brain says, go back to sleep. I do the opposite. I stay up, right? And then, you know, I get up, drink some water, make sure I hydrate, go to the gym. If it's an off day, sit in the sauna, come back, go for a walk with my wife. It's kind of our time to catch up one-to-one, you know, before craziness of the day starts. Gives us some alone time if we need to talk to each other about something, significant mm-hmm. decisions in the future, whatever. Come back, read a little bit, and look at my goals and start the day. But the toughest part for me is if I sleep in a little longer, then one of those things gets cut out. If one of those things gets cut out, my whole day is off, and it defeats the purpose of having the routine. Because once I accomplish the routine, I already start my day winning. I'm already positive. I already worked out. I got a sweat. Spent time with my wife. I read. I grew my brain. I learned something. Now, if I open that email and it's a bad email with work, or something happens, a deal falls through, I've already had a positive and accomplished something throughout that day.
And I do the same thing. Like, I'm up usually at 5:36 every morning, get up, do the gym. What I've learned the hard way, right? And tell me if you've had to go through this, is you wake up, you're like, oh, I did it for like 6 days in a row. Next thing, I'll be like, I'll push this off till this afternoon, right? Like a workout. Next thing you know, we get a client call. Next thing you know, something comes up. Something seems to always get in the way. And next thing you know, you're flushed in the afternoon.
My biggest success in scheduling anything is do the hardest thing first. And for me, going to the gym is the hardest thing.
Oh, bro, I woke up this morning and I did not want to go to class. Like, I had a 6:15 workout scheduled. And I was just like, just get in there. Once I just got in the car and got in there, and just once the sweat breaks, I'm good.
And then you leave and you're like, I feel amazing. Bro, I'm so happy I did this.
Let's go. Let's get
so
this
so happy.
Yeah. And then everything else kind of just falls into place. But the discipline and the consistency to me is the hardest part. Because it's so easy to be like, I did it all week. I can chill out right now. Even on weekends, I wake up early. And like, I may sleep in a little bit early, like on a Sunday morning. But I'm still like up get ready, get something done right out of the gate.
Yeah. And you know, a successful day on the weekend, if, say I didn't have any real estate work to do on the weekend, mm-hmm. which is never going to happen. But
not in this market here. That's for damn sure.
Say that was the case. You still want to do that routine and win the day.
Mm-hmm.
Because what if something negative happens on your Saturday or mm-hmm. your Sunday, right?
Yep.
It's still the same exact thing. It's just you're removing a potential outcome, which is work.
Yeah.
But something negative could happen in your personal life, you know?
Yeah. If there's something that can go wrong, it's going to get thrown at you. But that's where the positive mindset kind of, you're almost... What is the saying? If you're always prepared, nothing is ever. You're never really. I'm trying to think of the term. If you're always prepared, there's really nothing that can throw you off. If you always are like ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember the term I'm thinking of, but it's along those guidelines. If you just stay in that routine, there's really nothing that can really throw you off.
You're your own fault.
I mean,
take it, responsibility.
It's you're a victim mentality nowadays, though, bro. Like, everybody likes to point the finger. Everybody likes to be like it's their fault. Everybody likes to.
So that's a piece in what I've been speaking on is radiating positivity in a negative world. Like, I believe that you're not the victim. You're the victor. I believe that circumstances don't dictate anything. It's how you perceive the situation and how you take action.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like for me, my parents. Drug addicts, addicted to OxyContin, right? I found out when I was 14 from my best friend, you know, who was in a car with his older brother who sold my dad OxyContin.
Shit.
Right? That's how I found out. Dude, I could have not gone to college. I could have got addicted to drugs.
You're like, oh, this happened to us.
I could have done all that. But instead, I was like very upset as a young kid and realized, okay, I can't let this ruin me, right? So like how I perceived that super negative, fucked up situation... Mm-hmm. is how I got through it and how I used positivity and wasn't the victim. Right? You never hear me crying about any of that
shit.
No, I don't. How long have you known me?
Yeah.
Never. Right? I don't even bring it up.
You could still, and I get the feeling you're like me where you still use that as a driving force nowadays to be like, if I got past that, nothing.
Yeah, and it's so crazy because everybody's so scared to fail, but the worst days of your life, mm-hmm. you're still here.
Yeah.
If you think about every bad thing that's happened to you, you've survived. Like, give yourself some freaking credit, man.
Yeah.
Give yourself some credit. You survived all the bad things that have happened. Why are you so scared to fail?
Yeah.
Like, failure's part of it. I'm doing this conference for Impact in next year, and I'm getting all these famous speakers and selling 500 tickets, and tickets are going to range from $5,000 down to $200 a ticket and all this stuff, right? And there's $500,000 in revenue on the table here.
Sure.
And people are like, oh, dude, you're just going to throw this together and do it, and it's in a year, and you're going to get famous speakers, and you're going to figure do all this. What happens if you lose a lot of money?
I hate that. That is such a common response to those kind of things.
What happens if I lose a bunch of money? I lost a bunch of fucking money.
But you know what you did? You went for it.
Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? My kid's not going to have diapers? I've got a good friends that will support me and put a diaper on my kid's ass. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to go broke. I'm not addicted to drugs the way my parents were. I'm not going to, go through those things, right? So at the end of the day, what's the worst thing that could happen? I throw in an event, I don't sell as many tickets as I think I could, and I lose money. Then life guess what? On. Let's go sell some more real estate and make some more money.
Yeah, life goes on.
But I'm not going to not do something that I'm passionate about, I know is going to help people. Getting those people in that room with those speakers, people's lives are going to be changed.
Yeah.
And it's because I threw an event.
And that you,
so I'm not going to do that because I'm scared of potentially losing money. I'm not going to give people the opportunity for their lives to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's even when I get up and speak, it changes someone's life.
Yeah.
Not even the other people that I'm paying to come and speak to hopefully do that who have more history in speaking and experience and years over me. But at the end of the day... Man, you got to take a chance. You can't.
No, you have to. You have to. The thing about what you're saying too that I love is it might not resonate right then and there. It might not resonate to that person. There might be something you say or one of the speakers says. It might take that person going through something 6 months from now that they might go, damn, I remember that message. This is what they meant. Because sometimes on stuff goes on deaf ears. It takes having to go through experiences. And then you're like, ah, That's it.
And it's just like compound interest. Yeah. They take one nugget from that, mm-hmm. they go to a different conference or engage in a different relationship or a different conversation with someone, and they piece this together with this, and amazing things happen. Who knows, yeah. right? Could just be like compound interest.
And there's no price tag on that. So when everybody just focuses on the money, like you're going to, I'm like, miss me with all that. Like life is bigger than money. Yes, money matters to an extent, but I'm not stopping what my life because I don't have it at the moment, or I don't have, you never know, bro. You never know what connection is going to lead to this. You just, it's a domino effect with everything. But I guarantee you, if you wake up with a shitty attitude, thinking the world's against you and you're not going to get where you want to go.
If you don't know how to define your own success, you're not going to get where you want to
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
Success doesn't need to be money.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like,
success,
what if you
can be,
change somebody's life?
I feel valued. People value me as a human and mm-hmm. and my opinion. That could be success.
Yeah.
And it could make you $1 billion. It can make yep. you a billion pennies.
I value you, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
I value you, sir. Thanks. Ever since we met, I value
I'm
you,
successful.
Man. Yeah,
because you value me. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
It's, but that's the truth, man. Like, having somebody come up to you and telling you, oh man, I love what you did. It really inspired me. Tell me what price tag you could put on that.
I spoke at an event, my impact event 2 weeks ago, and someone came up to me, said changed their life. They're holding back tears. They need to hear that. They've been battling some negative stuff going on in life. You know, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for your vulnerability. Yep. Dude, that felt better than cashing a $40,000 commission check.
I tell you, man. You are not lying.
So how are you going to tell me it's all about the money when I've cashed a $40,000 check before? I know that feeling. And I know the feeling that night after I spoke.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that feeling after I spoke felt so much better than the $40,000.
And that's what you remember.
If I could do that
and
make $40,000 speaking, fuck, man. I don't need to sell another piece
Tony
of real
Robbins,
estate.
Robbins, that's what he did. Like, he got everybody on board and started going to mansions and living that life. I mean,
if I can change lives and get paid for it, dude, that's success for Jim Morris. Yeah. Is changing someone's life and getting paid for it.
I tell you what, that especially in this negative world like we talked about, I mean, to put that out there, I love it. I absolutely, you got to go for it, man. Like, just anything in life, whether it's, just go for something. Like my last office job that I had, I would always have people be like, when I was quitting, they were like, oh, I wish I could quit. I'm like, you can. You just don't really want it that bad.
You want me to write your resignation letter for you?
Yeah, I know. We
can change the name at the top, and I can print the same one I'm giving them.
Yeah, I assure you there's a way out of here.
Yeah.
I assure you.
This isn't prison yet.
Yeah, man. So are you doing like a professional engagement? Like, is public speaking going to be like one of your new, like one of your adding another layer to the Jim Morris resume? Is
yeah.
that something you're looking to do more of?
Yeah. I've got some collaborations coming up on some webinars and things like that with some new relationships I've made over the last couple months, and kind of test trialing, collabing with certain people. And then we're going to do kind of some showcases and some speaking series and things like that.
Tell you, I'll be there. As long as I'm in town, I'll be there.
Yeah, hopefully you'll see me on a big stage here soon, Q1 of this year.
Oh, you're looking to do it like Q1.
Oh, yeah. We're rocking and rolling.
Oh, and this is all through Impact?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me personally, you know, I'm building out the website so that way it's easier for people getting access to what my concepts I have that I'll be speaking on, right? Because a big piece of public speaking is not what I have to say, it's how it fits the audience,
yeah.
right? I don't want to get up and talk about positivity to people I can't connect with who just lost, you know, family members to cancer,
yeah.
right? I can't connect yeah. with that. That hasn't happened to me directly, right? So I want people to understand where my story comes from, sure. and how I can connect. So building out landing pages for that, but yeah, actively conversing with several people about speaking at their events and some collaboration.
And what's the website? Or do you have it? Is it up and running yet, or is it something that's still in the works?
Excuse me. Landing page isn't up yet, but impactsocialevents.com.
Impact Social Events. And then that's Impact Social Events on Instagram too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, all that. And then the real Jim Morris Instagram handle still yep. going. Y'all make sure you go follow this man, because I do, and he pumps me up. And I've known this guy since we sat next to each other in real estate school, and then here we are.
Crazy, dude.
Bro, it's just funny. I don't even know if that's area still open, if they still run that school there anymore.
No idea.
Fucking Nashville, man. It just moves. Is Is this whole city under construction driving you crazy?
Dude, what is everybody saying? Our national bird is a crane?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Or our statewide representative is a crane.
Just like the other joke too, and this is not a political thing, so everybody hold your tits. Like the best real estate agent in Tennessee is Gavin Newsom, the governor in California. He's the best real estate agent here because everybody's just flocking.
That's it.
Flocking. What's up? So if everybody doesn't know too, Jim is a real estate agent as well here in Nashville. And I just want to talk to you about that for just a second, not to get too serious, but what are some of the things that you're seeing right now that has shifted compared to a year ago that you've noticed that you've had to kind of adjust your business standpoint from?
I mean, right now, if you're trying to sell and you don't have the level of appreciation that you think or thought based on the market kind of normalizing, I'm seeing people want to sell to upgrade and there's just not enough money there to do so. So I'm advising people not to, right? Why sell a property to spend more money now, especially if we are going into a recession and layoffs are coming and all this stuff, right? I have no idea. The level of uncertainty.
It's crazy.
Who knows? But as far as the buying side, I mean, if you're a buyer right now, it's time to get some payback, you know? Paid closing costs, rate buy downs, all. I mean, I closed one 2 weeks ago and the buyer got every single thing on the inspection report fixed and all the closing costs. Like
the
literally,
buyer did?
Jeez. There wasn't screens. They got screens put in that needed some touch up paint. They got it touch up. The little stuff you never ask for because it pisses people off. Yeah. We got everything fixed. Everything.
Oh my God. That right there shows you how it's shifting. But you use the best word. Everybody, I always hear about crash and stuff, but you use the word that I use on a daily basis, normalize.
It's normal.
Yeah. This is, at least in this market here, it's normal. There's nothing, there's no crash. Like, it's not as flamboyant as it was, where people are just throwing. That was insane.
I think people, like buyers are protected, sellers are still getting the value that their home's worth. They're just not getting crazy higher. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't chaos.
This isn't a regretful time either, because I've heard from a lot of people they regret going so far over the asking.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because there's so many agents that just did all this crazy stuff to get people houses. And I refuse to do a lot of it. I refuse to waive an inspection. Refused. I'm like, I can't do it.
That never made sense to me either.
Find another agent, because you're going to be pissed you did this.
Like, this is just lawsuit.
It's just not. It's not the right thing to do.
It's not.
You need to know. You need to do due diligence. You need to know what you're getting by a professional.
Exactly.
Not your dad's cousin who hung drywall for 10 years between 18 and 28.
You'd be doing them a disservice if you advised otherwise.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's nuts. Have you noticed that you're getting, has the business slowed down at all for you, or are you still just as busy as you were?
I'm moderately busy. You know, I left a recent team I was on and started my own thing. So that took, you know, a month and a half to get my systems up.
Oh yeah. It's a transition for sure.
Make all my transitions into my name. But I'm good, man. You know, like I'll hit goal for this quarter, you know, maybe one deal shy, but that's good for me.
Yeah.
Especially with a baby coming, you know,
right?
Overloading the first 2 months, you know, where usually I would probably do a little bit more in the end of December, but you know.
So if somebody right now is like, I want to move to Nashville and looking for a house, what's one piece of advice you would tell them as of today?
I would buy as soon as you can, because the home prices aren't going backwards. Everybody thinks it's crashing and it's going to lose value, right? I'm an investor. I buy houses. I flipped a house. I've got a long-term rental. I Airbnb, right? I've got it all in different segments, not as much in all segments that I'd like, right? Obviously, you want the most in each, but you know, I've got a little bit in everything, and I'm doing the same thing as I'm telling everybody to do, right? As an investor, I wish I bought a year ago.
Yeah.
Still. Because by the time I sell that property, I still appreciated the last year. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I spent more, but the home prices, they're just not doing this. They're doing what's normal.
And the inventory is climbing too.
True.
We have our inventory here is, if you look at the last couple months, it people think that there's no inventory right now, but it's going up.
Yeah.
It's just gonna spark the demand. Like,
you can find what you want and you can get a good deal right now.
You can,
in my opinion.
I completely agree.
And there's still houses out there that are overpriced. You need the right realtor. You need the right advisor.
Yeah, you do.
Because there's still properties that I'm like, oh, that's beautiful, but that's $125,000 more than what it's worth.
Yeah.
Let's not buy it. Right? If you make a dumb decision, it's a dumb decision in anything you do.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's just the real estate industry it's as close to working in the Wild Wild West as I've ever been involved with. I mean, it is just nuts how many different approaches there are, how many different laws, how many different rules. It's just chaotic.
It's an industry where there's such a wide range of intellect. And I think that's where you see a lot of it. Is you've got people that have never worked in contracts before who are writing 20 contracts a year. You got people who know contracts in and out who are battling the people that don't, right? Yeah. So there's just so many different interpretations, so many different levels, experience, things like that.
Yeah.
I think that makes it a little bit complicated.
Yeah, but you're good at communicating and staying on top and giving straight answers. And I think that's why you've been so successful, in my opinion. Those are like the main things from, at least when I work with other agents, where I'm like, if you can communicate and you just get to the point and just answer the question, don't avoid, just if you don't know, to say you don't know, you find out. And just as long as you're working for them and they know that, I feel like everything else kind of takes care of itself.
I think a lot of real estate agents try to be clever.
Oh yeah.
And like,
well, it all depends on who you're working with.
You can just be simple and straightforward.
Yeah.
And it's way easier of a transaction.
Especially when they're putting that much money on the table.
Yeah, and people, these clever ways of strategy and negotiation, and it's like, this doesn't work. Just, hey, this is what my client wants. This is what your client wants. We all want this deal to go through. Let's get in the middle.
Yeah, let's not get weird with it.
And let's do this thing together instead of trying to screw your client or screw mine.
It's like, I hate dealing with the ones that kind of make mountains out of molehills. Where it's just like, really? This is like, I see what you're doing here, and you're making the whole situation, because now you're putting buyers on edge, or the seller, or whoever you're representing, on edge. You're making this way more complicated than it should be.
My favorite is the realtor who asks you a million questions about a property before they even ever have any inclination they're going to send you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can kind of see it. Yeah. You're like, okay. Can you ask me all 45 questions in one text message instead of 45 questions over 2 days? Because this is just crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And because you got to remember, we don't have all the answers. We didn't live in the house for the last 15 years. So when you ask a question, I got to go ask my client.
Yeah.
If I annoy the shit out of them,
this
isn't going to go well for your client trying to buy the house.
Yeah, it's going to trickle down. And then feelings start getting involved, and we got to become therapists and be like Dr. Phil in that thing right in the middle of it. All right, let me switch up on something else here. We got the serious. You've been around Nashville how many years now?
Coming up on 5.
Have you been to any new bars that you've been to recently, or any new restaurants around town? Is there anything that you've kind of been? Because I've been to just the standard steakhouses lately and everything, but there's a bunch of new things around town. Have you been able to hit any of those up or anything?
I went to something that wasn't new recently, Pelican and Pig. Have you been to that restaurant?
I've heard you're like the third person that's told me about this place.
A friend of mine invited me, heard about it, knew about it, never been. Amazing.
Good.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
What have I done recently? The Rutledge.
Rutledge Four Seasons. Good. I like the Rutledge.
Super cool.
Rutledge.
Good vibe.
Yeah, good vibe. One of my favorite vibes, steakhouse wise, is Bourbon Steak.
I mean, look where you are, man. You're on the top floor, baby.
Yeah, one of your networking events was there, right? I think that's.
We didn't have one there.
It was the Virgin Hotel. Was
Virgin,
at the top
we
of.
Had yeah. one. We've done an after party at Bourbon Steak.
Yeah, Bourbon Steak. I mean, that place.
Just expensive up there for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you're paying for that damn view. That's for sure. This is a fun city to live in, bro.
Crazy.
Do you have any regrets about moving here?
None. I mean, it's so crazy to see the growth and development from just being here 5 years that I'm so excited to see what the next 5 and the next 5 and the next 5 are going to be. Mm-hmm. Because watching what's happened in just 5 years to me is nuts. I've never seen a city grow like that. I've never seen the culinary side, the hospitality side, the bars, the different adventures, the different activities.
Yep.
I mean, dude, there's, you can go do something every single night, every single day. And oftentimes there's multiple things to do where I have to choose between seven things I want to do on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Like, my life's so hard.
Yeah, right? I know. It's like, twist my arm.
But like, if you say you're bored in Nashville, you have no life.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, there's never a shortage of things to do.
No,
I tend to balance things out now where I know the construction's out. I'm like avoiding that.
If you can't have fun in Nashville, you got to talk to a therapist or something. You know what? You suck.
Yeah, you do. You do. You know one thing about Nashville that we're spoiled with? And tell me when you were first living here, and then what made me start to really appreciate where we're at, right? Because I'm not the biggest country music fan. That's not. Did you ever get that when you first moved here, or did you move here for music?
Hated country music when I moved here.
I'm still not the biggest fan of the real popular stuff. Like if it's a good country song, I'm all about it. But we're spoiled here. And I've been traveling a lot lately. You go to towns here, there's literally music everywhere. Now I'm like somewhere, I'm like, why don't they have any music playing? Like, and I'm like, oh, Music City.
My friend, one of my best friends, his mom is here, and she Facebook messaged me and was saying thanks for the recommendations and all that stuff. And her thing was the live music.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. This is amazing. We're going to Kid Rock's later tonight. You know, and I'm like, to me, it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's just a normal.
I don't want to go to Kid Rock's.
Yeah, don't go to Broadway.
I don't want to go to Kid Rock's. No. But then I think about, like, how cool is Kid Rock's the first 10 times I've been there?
Yeah.
Some of the coolest shit ever.
The first 2 years I lived here, Broadway was my favorite fucking thing. And now I'm like, how do I avoid Broadway?
Yeah.
No. But it's just it's just growing. There's a reason why everybody's moving here. There's a reason why everybody's opening restaurants all around the city. I mean, when I first moved here, there's a handful of rooftop bars. Now it's like little litter boxes on top of buildings, just hanging out. Everybody's just having a good time.
That's it.
I'm blown away that it's November, bro. Are you a big holiday person?
I'm not a huge holiday person, but I will say last year, with my wife, pre-married, we decided to kind of do certain things annually and focus a little bit on our own traditions. So I would say previously I wasn't a big holiday person, you know, typically worked on holidays, being in the hospitality industry.
Yeah. Absolutely. Working in payroll for so long, it's like holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I think we're trying to do something and start traditions and things like that. So
what's your, if you had the rate, Halloween, is Halloween really a legit holiday in your mind, or is it just a day we do
it's
shit?
It's a holiday to me.
I like that it's the start of the season, because I'm a season guy. Like, I'm all about the next 3 months, not about the specific day.
So, winter opposed to fall, or fall opposed to winter?
Fall.
Okay.
What about you?
I like fall too.
Yeah, fall's my shit, but it doesn't seem to last here.
Well, it's shorter because, and we also have sporadic 85 degree days in November.
My brother and I just did a trip to Colorado. And we got to catch the peak leaves when they were like the yellows and reds. Man, it's hard to top that. It's hard to top that. I mean, you want, like when you first moved to Nashville, you're taking pictures of everything. Now you're like, look at this.
You got to remember, bro, Boston, Northeast, that's the place to be.
Is it really? Is it that? Oh, I've never been there before.
Maine,
can you believe
New Hampshire, Massachusetts. Yeah.
You going to get to go home at all this holiday? Or?
I'm actually, well, we got the baby coming. So, I mean, any day.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to head back up that way around March.
Are you more Thanksgiving or more, Christmas?
I like Christmas, man.
Me too.
Yeah.
Especially like that 2 weeks leading up to it when all the lights are going. Now, how early is it to start Christmas music? I have people that say right after Halloween, right after Thanksgiving. When do we break out the Mariah Carey?
After Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, I would like to think so, but I it's already starting, bro. Mariah's already unthawed. She's out ready to go. How much money do you think she still makes from that Christmas song?
It's got to be online somewhere, but isn't it like over $1 billion?
It's
she
nuts.
Made?
It's nuts.
Like over the year, because I mean, she did that 15 years ago,
and that it just continues
residuals.
The cycle.
Residuals.
Residuals. That's residuals. How you do it. That's how you get paid. Seinfeld started all that, I think, with that back in the day. What's your two things that annoy you the most about the holiday season?
Unwanted stress to satisfy others.
Bro, that was deeper than I thought you were going to go. But yeah, that I would put that right at the top. That and traffic.
You know, it's like, okay, you want to spend time with loved ones, family, friends. You want to be happy. That's the whole point. But yet sometimes we still allow people in our lives that create stress and problems during these times. And thankfully, my wife and I, we've already had those conversations of what we're going to do, who we want around. And at that point, now that we have a family or gonna with the baby girl coming, it's like we control the holidays now. They're our holidays.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't want to be stressed out. I want to relax, especially if I'm taking work off. And you know this in real estate, you're never off.
No.
I did a deal on Easter this year. Easter, 6 p.m. at the dinner table, got up, closed it, you know, got something under contract for $900,000 too. Like not a little deal. So if I'm going to take time off or away from my business, I want it to be relaxing and, you know, joyful.
Mm-hmm. Because so, it gets away from me. That's why stress is the silent killer.
I just decided, like, I'm not stressing out. I'm not putting people in my life around those holidays that
cause stress. One of the phrases working in real estate that is absolutely true is, like, you want your business to start getting busy, go on a vacation. Seems like the minute you get into that zone, you get a text like, hey, I want to look at these properties. And you're like, ah, you mother...
I started any vacation I go on, I budget an extra $1,000 that it's going to cost me for what I have to pay people to do because I'm out of town.
I know, bro. It happens. Like,
not only am I spending money on the flight and the hotel and the food, but I'm also spending money on paying someone to do real estate for me.
Yeah.
So add another $1,000 to that vacation.
Yeah, you nailed it, though, with the stress. And that's why... I always say I like the season rather than the days because Thanksgiving just gets so stressful. We need to be here at a certain time. We need to do this. Everybody, I always feel sorry. I know they love doing it for the ones that host like a big Thanksgiving because you can just, it doesn't seem fun to me. Maybe it's just not the caterer in me. I don't have like, it just seems like it's a lot of work when you should just be.
So I am the person that does that. And my joy is seeing it all come to fruition. It's at the dinner table.
Yeah.
It's the smiles. It's, oh, that was so good. It's watching people interact.
Oh yeah.
But it's a bitch.
It's a lot of work.
It costs you a lot of money.
And by the time everything's done, you're just exhausted.
People don't realize when you host a holiday or you host a barbecue, like, dude, I'm dropping like $400.
Mm-hmm.
Food, drinks, paper plate, all that stuff.
Oh, we
right?
do the same thing whenever we host things. And one thing I'll tell people out there, if you want to, you young bucks, you'll learn as time goes on. But if you want something from some older lads here, me a little older, if you go to somebody's house and they're hosting, help clean up in some way, shape, or form. Don't just leave shit laying around because that's the worst part, right? When everybody leaves and you're like, I just want to sit back. Just wanted to light up a cigar or something, just a drink. And you look around, you're like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Or, I mean, that too, right? But like, even just saying thank you.
Thank you.
101.
101.
Not like, hey, what's up, guys? Hey, thanks for having me. More like, hey, man, I really appreciate you having us over.
Yeah. That's it. Even if you want to leave early, like you come over, people always get caught up in like, I just want to come show my face. Fine. If that's your angle, that's your angle. But don't just dip out. Come up to me and be like, I'm not going to be like, hey, stay. And on the flip side of that, what I've learned is if your friend does do that to you, don't get mad at them. Like people, if they do that to you, that means they genuinely want you to stay. Take that as a compliment, especially this day and age.
True.
Like I used to never understood when I would be like, I'm not going to go. Like when I was growing up, when my friends would get mad at me, I'd be like, what the fuck are you mad at me for? Then I realized, oh, you're mad. If you had no feelings towards me whatsoever, you wouldn't give two shits if I was there. You'd be like, thank God Jake's not there. So I started becoming more grateful of that as I got older because not everybody... It's the gratitude thing, man. Relationships, who you know, all that matters. Like, I don't need somebody. I'm not somebody that needs 1,000 friends. If I got, like a good network, that's all I need.
And two, like, if you can't make it, saying thanks, I appreciate you thinking of me.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, I don't know for you, but if I invite you to 5 things and you can't come and you're just like, oh, can't make it. Guess what I'm going to do? Not invite you to anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Not that I'm mad you can't make it, but it's just kind of like there's no love being... I'm offering something at a cost to me and my time, and I really want you to be there. That's why I'm inviting you.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, I remember when we first met, you invited me to a lot of things, and I felt so bad because sometimes it legit is a reason why you can't do it. You got something other patient.
Life's life, man. Yeah, it's not all about me.
But the worst thing people do is when they just don't say anything. when they just kind of like, you'd be like, hey, you heading out, or are you going to be able to make it? And they just don't know what to say to it, so they don't say anything. I'm under the notion, if I'm like, hey, Jim, I can't go. Hey, it's something, I can't do this, something, especially in the industry working, something comes up.
Well, a no response is a response to me.
Right?
No, so like, if you don't respond, a very small fraction of people probably really didn't see your text. Like 98% saw it and just didn't respond. So I'm like, you couldn't have just said, hey, thanks, can't make it.
Yeah.
Let me know when the next one is. Hey, appreciate it, dude. Can't swing it. You know, or even if you don't respond and text me 4 days later. Hey, dude, I totally didn't respond, but thanks for the invite. I totally couldn't make it. I was tied up, right? Like, it's just, we got to remember humans are humans.
Yeah.
And we got to treat people like humans. And how you wanted to be treated, the golden rule. Like, this shit doesn't just fucking disappear.
I've been frustrated with myself a couple of times. I can be bad sometimes. If it's like a busy day where you're just getting blown up, I've had the tendency sometimes, because I have to prioritize things.
And of course.
I'm sure you, so there's times where I'm like, I can't respond to that right now. I'll get home, eat or whatever, and I'll have a drink. And next thing you know, I'm like, fuck, I forgot. I do that sometimes.
We all make mistakes and we all forget. But it totally happens.
Do you think it's better to respond a day or two late than not respond at all?
I think it's be genuine and authentic.
Exactly.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So like, if you forgot to respond, no big deal. But if you forget to respond after I invite you to something three times, then I'm going to make an assumption that you could give a shit less.
It's common courtesy.
Because you didn't even say no and you didn't even respond. So why would I keep inviting you? Right? Like, but like, no one's perfect, man. Like, I miss text messages all the time. I've gotten out of a meeting and saw 214 text messages.
I've been there.
Not even joking.
No, I know. So that's like, what I was getting
at. And that's not an excuse. If I genuinely missed responding to people, I genuinely feel bad.
Yeah.
You know? But you were talking about prioritization, and I got a question for you, actually, on your podcast.
Let it up. It's so easy for me to just
flip the seats here. So I purchase services or products, right? And then those cost money, and people send me an invoice. And what I've realized a lot is people make the assumption that once they send you an invoice, it's going to be initially paid, like immediately.
Yeah.
And for me, paying an invoice is a very low priority. Now, I understand I owe you the money, right? But say on Friday, I was going to a baseball game and I owed you money for the tickets, and this was 2 weeks before. To me, like, as long as I pay you before Friday, you're good. Yeah. And I told you I want the tickets and I'm gonna buy them.
Right.
Because it's a low priority, I don't pay invoices immediately.
I don't either.
Okay. So my question to you is, like, a lot of people have been like, hey, what's up with that invoice? What's up with that invoice? And I'm like, dude, I will never pay an invoice the same day you email it to me, because I think an email is a prolonged to-do list, and I've already got 50 things on my to-do list I'm trying to do today. So if you send that email, I'm probably not even reading it, or I'm putting it in a folder to read it when I work on my business, which is 30 minutes twice a week for stuff like this. So you shook your head, yes, but if you're sending an invoice, is your assumption it's going to be paid immediately that day or within the next day?
Whenever I've sent out that's never my assumption. My assumption is I understand that people, I can only control what I do is what I'm trying to say, right? So as long as I know I sent the reminder, if I'm like, okay, at least send it, because some people will pay right away. I just need to at least be like, all right, this is a business thing. I'll send it over to you. I'm usually like, no rush. Then it gets to a point where like, hey, what's going on with this?
Totally.
Like, if somebody were to send me an invoice, right? And be like, on the invoice, it says, dude, just pay by the end of November, right? Or whatever, something like that. Everybody's got their different list of priorities. It's almost like a game. Like, you know, Ozark?
Yeah.
Do you ever watch Ozark?
Yeah.
You know how we had a way of balancing money? Like, we take this. Everybody's got their own system, right? So if I put it up, if I got the money right then and there, and I'm like in front of my computer, and I'm like, all right, I'm good right now. Let me just pay this and check this off my list so I don't got to fucking worry about it. But I'm not one to harp people like that.
But even so like, for instance, like if you said,
is that kind of what you're asking? Or
I guess my question is, do you have an assumption that if you send an invoice, it's going to get paid within 2 days?
No.
I don't either.
No.
My assumption is it needs to get paid before I provide the service or the product. Mm-hmm. Or if I need it paid in 48 hours before I do anything else, I need to communicate that.
Right.
So if I send you an invoice and I need the money by tomorrow, I'm going to tell you I need the money by tomorrow.
Right.
Or if there's terms, I need it in net 15, net 30, whatever, right? I'm going to highlight that, especially if you're a new customer.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was interesting. A lot of people, like, I just have sent me invoices over the last couple of months because I'm, you know, left the team and now all that stuff's on me. And I'm like, you just sent it last night at 4 o'clock. Like, you're not getting paid that night. You're not getting paid the next day. Probably it's going to be a couple of days.
Yeah.
Not because I don't have the money, but that's just not.
No.
I'm not going to put paying a bill over clients or marketing efforts or podcasts to have great conversations with smart people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to. So I don't know. I just think
it's a human element to it too.
Concept.
Like if I'm able to and I'm right then and there, I'd rather just get it out of the way. But if I were to be like, hey, Jim, blah, 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 I would, if it's something that I needed done, like say, for example, I dropped the ball on my side and I'm like, shit, this needs to be paid. He needs to get me, or he said he would pay this. I'd be like, hey, bro, is there any way you could get this to me by the end of the week? I would explain
it. Hey, man, I need this money tomorrow. I know that's really quick, but here's the situation why. And I fucked it up. Mm-hmm. So can you help me out? And if you can, I understand because I'm asking you for payment within 24 hours and that's not really the normal.
It's
right?
Those little.
But if you have that conversation with me,
dude, just
I'm going to
be
more inclined to be like, dude, I'll actually be 5 minutes late to this next Zoom and I'm going to pay it right now.
Yeah.
Because you needed it and I want to do something for a human who needs help.
I'm glad you just led me into something. I had a long talk with somebody the other day, and with us being kind of in the same field and have a lot of similarities, a lot in common, let me ask you a question. Because as a realtor, we get this shit a lot where they want us to take less money for the same amount or more work. So we know a lot of people, you know a lot of people where we're all kind of working for ourselves. We're all kind of making our own way. And I bring this up, one, because perfect example, a small minor thing. And this gave me so much respect for you, bro. Like, I was like, this is my guy. Like, he's a legit friend. Is when we did the marriage certificate, right? When I was like, oh, I hate to charge you. And you're like, bro, absolutely not. We're working together here. And you're like, here's $20 for the notary, that kind of thing. And I meant to tell you that later, be like, that was such a stand-up thing that you did, because I find that true friends or people that are legit wanting to help people don't take discounts. I know a lot of people, like in the restaurant, where they'll be like, hey, let me comp your dinner. I'm like, no, let me pay and support your business. What are your thoughts about that?
Am I really your friend if I'm asking for you to give something to me of value for no cost? So that means that all right, so I'm going to break this down very scientifically, which is probably going to be the simplest way, but outputs and inputs, right? I come to you and I want to eat at your restaurant, and that's an output of value to me, right? It's an input because I wanted it. I wanted you to give me the food. You gave me the food. I ate it. It was great. All good, right? Why would I want you to give me value and give you nothing in return if I truly think you're a friend of mine? The simplest form. That's not fucking friendship.
It's not. If you just want somebody for the hookup, that's not your real friend.
But like,
it's fine if you want to do that, but just know that you're doing it the wrong way.
And if it's one of those situations where you're the owner and you're like, dude, no, you're eating this food for free, brother. Like, you've done so much for me. You helped me buy a house and cut your commission, you know, because it was the second one in your policies. You'll cut it at 1%
exactly.
If it's your second purchase, right? Whatever your policy is in real estate. That's different, right? Because that's an agreement set up, and all my clients get that, right? You can't just have a policy and do it for one person and not a different client. So it's just crazy to me. I mean,
support each other. That's literally like, have you ever been at the bar? All right, us at the bar, yes, obviously we have, where somebody hooks you up and you didn't even ask them, what's the first thing you do?
Tip
the shit out of them.
Yeah, I tip them on the wage as if they didn't hook me up.
Exactly. And I give them a little more because it is a nice, and it's like that whole pay it forward thing. Like, even if they don't ever do anything for me, I'm not doing it. The purest form of giving is anonymous, right? Like, you don't do anything to want it back. You do it. I wish that was more applied to people.
You do it because it's the right thing to do.
And so often, like, I grew up in a very traumatic circumstances and everything, and I felt like anytime somebody did something nice for me, it was always like, what's the reason? And it played out like that way. And when you're kind of like your situation, when you learn that early in life, it doesn't go away. You're at the most impressionable, like with your parents, you don't ever forget that shit. So like, I always remember growing up and I would always felt like I was getting taken advantage of. Now I just kind of forced the issue. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give to you, but I don't want anything in return. You don't need to do anything for me.
Yeah.
Just know if I do something nice or I do something like that, there's no angle. I come from that being used against me and like when I was growing up, and that's the last thing I'm going to do. There's nothing better when you just give for the sake of giving.
And people still do that.
Yeah.
People still,
you don't owe me anything if I help you out.
I mean, you and I both know someone who does that.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
We can talk offline about someone we mutually both know, cause it's not the right place or time to bring their name into this conversation. Mm-hmm. But that happens right now still, is people give you stuff so they can hold it over your head and you owe them something.
Yeah.
It's a form of, I've got something on you because I did something for you.
Exactly.
And I don't want that either. But that's not why I do it. I do it because I support that person.
Exactly.
So, for instance, why would I want it for free but pay someone I never met in my life for it? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you, bro.
Like, it's so dumb.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
I should pay double.
I fully understand.
Because I support you.
Like this is different than when I was a young lad, early 20s, and we knew somebody that worked at like a Taco Bell, and they were like, dude, you can get us a hookup tonight, and you go through, you only pay. That's a different story.
But here's the difference. They didn't own the Taco Bell.
That's true. Great point.
So it wasn't their money.
Yeah. So when it's somebody's business,
you're giving away their money.
Don't ask for the hookup. Help support each other, man. Especially nowadays when we're in an era right now where running your own business and small business is just harder. Not a political stance. It's just the way it is right now. It seems like everybody I know that's running, it's just tougher right now for whatever reason. It's just tougher. I'm all about everybody kind of help each other. And if you identify anybody that makes you feel good or is a good person, don't ignore that.
Totally.
We're going to finish on one last topic because I got to get your opinion on this. Who are you signing with, Tom or Giselle? Come on, Boston, man. Tampa, Boston. It's one thing we got in common is Mr. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. TB12,
man, all day.
Huh?
TB12
all day. Baby. Like,
so what's the deal? I need to hear your thoughts on this.
Okay, so I get a lot of shit when I'm like...
Someone else sleeping with Giselle?
Maybe Pete Davidson? Seems to be sleeping with everybody.
Seems to be ruining everybody's marriage and life.
I don't think it's a cheating thing. I just don't. I feel like they're just two type A's. And I hear this a lot, especially from the ladies, when they're like, well, he said he was going to retire. And then she doesn't strike me as the type that's going to dog him for ambition. I feel like... You get, it's not like you can go back into the NFL once you leave. And this guy has done it all, right?
Well, my question with that is, okay, so if it was that, where's any evidence of conversations about this prior to him going back? So like,
right.
Was there a bunch of controversy and leaked conversations when he went back that she was upset with that? I don't remember any of it. Do you?
I don't remember.
So why is that coming up now?
I don't know. News.
So how is that the reasoning? If it was never talked about when it would have happened.
Mm-hmm. It's just
bullshit.
It is. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they got together down the road. It's definitely when a divorce like that happens or with anybody, there's always more to it than what we see, especially. Tom Brady has always been very good. He's like, he gets that from the Belichick system, right? Hey, Bill, tell us about the game today. It was good. What do you guys got to do to beat Cincy? Well, we gotta play better than them. Keep it very minimum. And Tom Brady knows that. And they've done a good job with it. It's funny to talk about because literally every party I've been to, every get together, you bring it up. The women got their opinion. And it baffles me, but it's funny because he plays for the Bucks right now. Like, so it's like, all right. And I was like, Giselle is single-handedly hurting our season. She's taking everything. And I completely expect him to ball out this weekend. I think, like, now that it's over.
Let's see.
And I feel... I don't know, man. Like, it's not for him coming back to play football. I've heard it's because he's with who knows in that era with how much she makes, and just let him be.
Who knows if it was ever a real relationship? I always question stuff like that.
Yeah, bro.
When you're that high profile, that expensive, that big in the, you know, big show, essentially, is that even real?
Yeah. What? Who's your college team? Do you have a college team that you follow?
No.
So is
I grew up in Massachusetts.
So you're just all Boston.
Boston
all
College, terrible.
Yeah, Florida State is too.
College football. Why would we talk about college football when we have the Patriots?
Are you worried about them, by the way? Do you think, or do you think Bill's on the way out?
I don't know what's going to happen, man.
I think the way the teams ran is solid. All the things you guys have lost, and you're still competing, playing tough football, top defense. I just don't like when people are like, oh, see, Belichick can't win. You know what Brady did in Tampa with all those people? I mean, it's not like Belichick forgot how to coach.
And it's also, too, it's who you're facing, how good those teams are, right? Like, every season's different. Every era is different. Every, you know, you can – football is such a complex sport where you need everybody on the field to do what they need to do. And if one person doesn't do that, then the opportunity at hand isn't there. And then that touchdown doesn't happen, or that field goal, or that block kick, or that sack, right?
We're all Monday morning quarterbacks, right?
So who knows?
Yeah. We do that in life now where everybody likes to criticize every other. Why don't you guys try loving people? Try loving somebody. Jim, my man, damn, time's flying, bro. We're about almost at an hour now. This is what happens, man.
Let's go.
We got to do this again. Is there anything, because we're going to go ahead and wrap up here so I can let you get on with your day. I am beyond grateful that you came to jump on. I want to do this more often, especially now that I got a good system going here. Everything's coming together in the studio. Is there any message? Do you want to talk before we end things? Do you want to go on with your do the opposite thing? Is there anything you want to say before we wrap up here?
Yeah, just radiate positivity. The world's a negative place. If you're looking or struggling with things like that, feel free to reach out to me. Mm-hmm. I do some coaching, some mentoring. I've got some webinars coming up. We're doing some good collaboration with a lot of high-level folks and, you know, thought leaders. So follow me, The Real Jim Morris on Instagram, Jim Morris on Facebook, The Real Jim Morris Show on YouTube. And let's connect. Shoot me a message, DM. Would love to chat with you.
My man. And I follow him. And I tell you what, you need a friend that can push you in the morning and be like, all right, Jim's on it. I got to get on it. This is that motherfucker right here. Jim, bro.
Thank you.
This
brother.
Was awesome, my man. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right, everybody.
It.
Thank you. Don't forget, if you like the podcast, go follow, like, comment, subscribe where you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify. Want It Tall on Instagram, wantittall.buzzsprout.com, Want It Tall on YouTube, wantittallpodcast@gmail.com, TikTok, the whole nine. I couldn't be more grateful for everybody out there listening, lending your ear canals for me for a little bit. Let me run around in there.
Yeah.
Until we meet again.
Yeah.
Until the next one, guys. Love you guys. See you. Peace. Yeah.
What? Jazz, hip-hop, bond like fusion. Slow grooving sounds that get the crowd moving. So for your amusement, we come to play. A little Kenny G, a little Miles D, a little Sade. I get busy when I listen to Dizzy, yeah. And relax when I hear Coltrane on sax. In fact, I fill my loneliness with keys from Thelonious, yeah. Monk anytime, day or night, week or month. So don't try to front like it's something you don't want. This jazz music, y'all.